In the epistle today, St. Paul reminds us in his beautiful poem of charity. Charity is patient, is kind, is not provoked to anger. There remaineth these three, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. St. Francis de Sales, echoing St. Paul today, said that charity is the only bond among Christians and the only virtue that unites us absolutely to God and neighbor. But had he merely written those words, they would have been one amongst thousands, read and very soon forgotten. When it comes to the saints, it's their example, the stories that are precious, that stop us, and perhaps might stir us to virtue as well. This virtue of charity, Francis de Sales lived to the point of dying to himself. Once he felt obliged, in the name of charity, to denounce a scandalous couple in his city, and he did so during Mass from the pulpit. The man was very, very angry, resolved to get revenge. And together they hatched a plot, the man and the woman did, to forge a letter in the handwriting of the bishop and to put his name on the bottom, a letter, of course, which would compromise him morally in a severe degree. And just at the same time, when it rains, it pours, why, there was a sort of a low-life lawyer who conceived, for some reason, a great hatred for that holy bishop, and he wanted to blacken his reputation. St. Francis and St. Jane had just opened the first visitation convent on the sea. Of course, being a convent, there were a number of young and attractive girls, young ladies, who entered the convent and took the veil. The lawyer took it upon himself one day at night to post a big sign over the door of the convent, "The harem of Francis de Sales." Jane de Chantal was furious. She wanted to file a report with the police. Our saint would have nothing of it. He said that silence is the dignified reply, and that indeed this kind of thing excited in him only a kind of a kindly pity. Once somebody remarked to Francis de Sales how difficult it is, in common experience, to love one's enemies. And he said, "If God forbade it, actually, I would find it very hard to carry out that precept. After all, who would not love him, dear enemy, for whom Christ has prayed, for whom he died?" You see, he prayed not only for us, but for those who persecute us and persecute him through us. One day, St. Francis met that lawyer in the street just by chance, and he took him by the hand, and he spoke to him very kindly, and the lawyer tried to back away from some of the horrible things he had said and done. He said, and St. Francis looked right at him, and he said, "My friend," he said, I know the facts of the case. Let's not go there. But I want to tell you this, that if you poked out one of my eyes, with the other one you left me, I would still look at you in all good faith." As it turned out, that lawyer had a daughter who herself wanted to enter the convent, and they were too poor to be able to afford the dowry, which back then had to be paid. And St. Francis eventually received that young lady with no dowry into the convent. The man who forged the letter, he died not long after, but before he died, he retracted what he had done. And St. Francis offered his own convent to the woman to come and make a retreat and kind of get her life organized again after such a sinful interlude. "He that loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." That's really all we have to do this Lent or any time to become saints, but is this news? We have trouble with that. This whole business of love, I mean. It sounds kind of liberal, doesn't it? Besides, what does the word mean? When we read it, me go, my eyes glaze over. When we hear it, it seems that anymore today, it's just a justification or a hypocritical phrase proposed and accepted by the Novus Ordo and by the world, some kind of a vague emotion meant to cancel out the Ten Commandments. And yet, we all know, we all need love. At least we learn that need by its absence, which leaves a dark void and burns us with its chill and seems to drive us to every kind of self-destructive sin in response. Look at the country in which we live. We live in a land of perpetual war. The wars in the Middle East, now they're stirring up yet another. When will they ever end? And domestically, do you remember the war on poverty, which gave way to the war on drugs? And now for how many years have we sacrificed our liberties for the war on terror? And as though all of those wars were not enough, the First Lady now has declared yet another, the war on obesity. At least find a little comfort in eating, at least before Lent starts. But no, it seems that is not to be permitted. Was her husband, that great communist agitator in our White House, her husband has declared war on the Catholic Church and on the natural law. We live in a land of war. What to do about it? Well, we're Catholics. It's not emotion, first of all. We start our response with a definition. The popular meaning of love is a kind of an attraction that one person feels for another, either expressed in friendship or an attraction which is based upon blood, family, a father telling his children, I love you, or a husband his wife. But even pagans love those who love them and those who are related to them, at least some of the time. There must be more to the story for Christians than that. Something which is really pagan is the abuse of love to turn it into a mockery. It is used as an excuse for that fallen passion of ours to possess, to use another, and having used, to discard. That kind of an appetite, that concupiscence, knows no reason, no prudence, and no moral restraint. One person literally feeds off another person. Self-gratification, which ruins so many lives all the time. But love, love, this one word summary of the law, St. Paul in the epistle uses the Greek word, he had several at his disposal, but he uses the Greek word agape, which means a self-sacrificing love. There you have it. That's its distinguishing characteristic. It is a habitual disposition, a virtue infused by God into our souls with sanctifying grace, whereby what? We seek the good of the one whom we love, even, this is its proof, at our own cost. Just as we would for ourselves, we do for another, we love our neighbor as ourself. Love seeks to give and not to get. See how good it is. It must be from God. And in this sense, it is not some silly, sentimental feeling associated with St. Valentine's Day. It is certainly nothing sinful, nor is it selfish. Love is the fulfilling of the law. St. Augustine can say with perfect confidence, love and do what you will, as long as you truly love. love does not stand to cancel out the commandments, but to capitulate or summarize all of the commandments into the two great ones. This kind of love is not a clever kind of a cloak for malice, but it's often presented that way. If you love me, he says, pressuring her. If you love me, she purrs, trying to influence him. No. Nor is it that banal banner that you'd find hanging in some bleak Novus Ordo church. This love is patient. It's persevering. It has nothing to do with a fickle emotional outburst. This kind has all of the gentleness and mercy, but also all of the justice and all of the sense of right of God himself. It is the foundation of all friendship. It is the rock on which happy marriages and holy families are built and endure. This kind of love has as its patron our own patron, St. Francis de Sales. And by it, like St. Paul, he became all things to all men. He said, I know of no other Christian perfection than to love God with the whole heart and neighbor as ourselves. Every other perfection, so entitled, is false. It's a sham gold. If you scratch at it, you see it's not gold at all. Well and good, but how is what I want to know. How in practical terms? How does that work with your spouse? How does that work with your siblings at home, with the family, with those with whom you work, and all of the rest? The great unwashed. And what about your enemies? Well, always be as gentle as you can, for starters, he says. And here comes the part you all know about the honey. You get more flies, remember that, with one teaspoonful of honey than you would with a gallon, with a barrel of vinegar. The human mind is so constituted that it rebels against harshness. You can correct without harshness. But the mind becomes perfectly tractable under gentle treatment. A mild word cools the heat of anger, says St. Francis, just as water puts out a fire. But again, I'm wondering, what about in practical terms? Well, remember those eyes St. Francis used, speaking with that lawyer? It's a matter of using your eyes well. That is to say, it's a matter of visualizing. St. Francis says, we must look upon the souls of all men as resting in the Sacred Heart of our Savior. If you look at people in any other way, you run the risk of not loving them, at least not with purity, and not with constancy, and not with impartiality. But when you behold them there, in his Sacred Heart, how could you but love them and be patient with their imperfections? How could you call them irritating or troublesome when they're right there inside of his heart? And when he died for them, that's how lovable he found them to be. Look at them then in his heart and see yourself there too. But see them too, use your holy face devotion in this sense. See them too through and with his eyes. What does he see? And then lock them in your sights. Not to shoot them down, but to keep them locked in your embrace, and you in his, the summary of charity. Now, I'm not here to say this morning that that's an easy task. No one ever promised that. But next Sunday, St. Paul will say, now is the acceptable time, isn't it? It's time for sacrifice. It's time for striving. What good would it possibly do you this Lent, aside from helping out Mrs. Obama's war on obesity, to watch carefully what you put into your mouth and pay no attention, our Lord says, to what comes out of the mouth? What good would be that little that I beg each one of you to do this Lent, that little bit of reading, the little meditation each day, the way of the cross on Friday night, your daily rosary, to make a daily mass during the week something extra? What good would do that little if there is not a lot of charity that lies behind it? This Holy Face Sunday, behold Jesus Christ, his heart, the very model of charity. Behold the living examples of the saints. It took St. Francis de Sales some 20 years to acquire charity, and sometimes it took all he had not to lose it, along with his temper. I don't know about you, but I've been working on this one for longer than 20 years, and I haven't made much progress. And if I preach charity to you this Lent, it is our theme. Be sure of this, I reserve myself a place in the very front pew. But it seems an excellent moment, doesn't it, for us to consider charity? An excellent moment in the history of our country, because we are so beleaguered. The Catholic Church in this land is attacked, the natural law itself, as never she has been before. It seems a perfect moment. This year, it is already 50 years since the curse and the plague, the atomic bomb of Vatican II. It seems a perfect moment to me as well, in the very history of this church, that we should dedicate this Lent to that one enduring virtue, after all, to charity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.